Are you ready, Alabama?
All the band is out on the field!
The band is leaving the field.
And one time, at band camp,
love the drum.
Man, I do love my drum.
If you say that's what she said one more time, I'm gonna pop you.
You're welcome to join the doghouse.
Oh God, I'm so sorry. I keep doing that.
Call the big dog now at 866-485-9867.
Be a dog.
The clock starts on my whistle.
How you doing?
It's time for the second half of the Tom Abraham Show. Here he is, the head of the household. Here's drum major Big Dog. It's Tom Abraham.
We strong.
You all may be taking the week off, hype this week, but I'm not.
Close, so close. Not drum major Big Dog, but Tony Mack. I don't know what you would call like the assistant drum major or whatever, and I probably should know that. I did band in high school. I was in the drum line. But nonetheless, the Big Dog handling some business at the moment, so you got Tony Mack. We're not going anywhere. Just because the Big Dog's got to go downstairs and put, you know, his supervisor hat on doesn't mean we're going anywhere. And according to Bleacher Report, neither is Big Ben. Now, that one just in. Big Ben said he wants to play three more years, he told his teammates, despite the retirement rumors. So here to hash all that out, we got Pro Bowl talk, guys. We got Super Bowl talk, Senior Bowl. I know he's going to want to get into some of that. Prop bets, we have so much to cover. And we got the perfect guy to do that. And that's Brent Sobolewski of the Bleacher Report. Brent, welcome in, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. You should have introduced me as the Big Ugly. See, it would have been perfect.
Well, you know, oh, man, I missed an opportunity. What can I say? I kicked that one, but I'll get you next time, the next time around. I might just change your name in my phone.
Once a lineman, always a lineman, man. We hate those pretty boy quarterbacks.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what. The more I have learned about football growing up in my young life, it's that offensive lineman, one, obviously, other than our Cole Kublik here really trying to push that conversation of talking and analyzing those guys more. That's a brotherhood between all those guys. You know what I mean? That is a tight, tight family.
Well, one thing I learned of being playing the sport, coaching the sport, being around the sport is the first person you can pick out on the field at any time is the offensive line coach, because he's just a different animal than anyone else within the sport itself. And second of all, those big boys, if we stick together, and you have to, because you, for years, you work together as a cohesive unit and you rely upon that man next to you with knowing full well you're going to get none of the credit, even though you're doing the most work.
Well, speaking of those pretty boy quarterbacks, I wouldn't say he's as pretty as some of the younger guys out there. Ben Roethlisberger says, hey, guys, I want to play three more years. How much you buying into that?
I'm not completely. And that's simply because, you know, we've had him basically come up and state that, you know, he contemplated retirement last offseason. He made an announcement he was returning last year when no one actually thought he was retiring in the first place. It almost came out of nowhere. And it's a situation where when I look at Ben Roethlisberger throughout his career, I refer to him as a drama king. He's someone that loves to really stir things up. And let's be honest, he has two more years on his contract where the cap hit is $23 million each season. It's going to be difficult for him to step away from that money. With that said, if there's a major injury at this point, and he's been banged up throughout his career, I mean, granted, he's almost like Teflon in his ability to take on these hits and continue to play, but they're starting to rack up over the seasons. If that occurs again, I think he would seriously contemplate it. I will say this. I think one of the reasons maybe he's excited about 2 to 3 more years is the fact he's no longer working with Todd Haley. And I understand that the Steelers have been an explosive offense and very, very highly regarded, with Haley leading the way in recent years. But that relationship was always strained to a degree. And you now have a situation where he should be more free, control the scheme a little bit more. And I think that probably excites him to where he does want to play another season or two.
Well, what's more likely, Big Ben getting to play three more seasons or the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell finally coming to an agreement on a contract? I know that it sounds like it might actually happen this time, but do you know the details of what kind of money is actually finally going to make Le'Veon Bell say, okay, I'll sign up?
I would actually lean towards Roethlisberger playing all the, that time. And I think we've been given an indication how Bell was utilized this past year based on how the Steelers want to proceed this offseason. When you look at NFL history with running backs and going over that 400-touch plateau, which Bell did this past season, then you see a downward trend throughout the rest of their career. And considering how much they put on him this season, it would be difficult for me to see any team really make him the highest-paid running back in the NFL. And I do expect that to happen. But my point being is you're probably – buying way too high considering the workload he went through this past year, how much emphasis was placed on him in that Steelers offense, and how much he has going forward. Because when you take that much punishment and have over 300 carries, over 80 receptions, 405 total touches throughout the entire regular season, that's not including their playoff game, then you have a running back that has a tendency to break down the following year. And we know that Bell is looking to capitalize and really sign that monster contract. Otherwise, he wouldn't have turned down the 5-year deal the Steelers offered last offseason, which they were truly surprised he did so. So when I'm looking at it, if we're just transposing those two different situations, honestly, I could see Ben playing longer in Pittsburgh than Bell ever does.
That's crazy. And I can understand where he's coming from on Bell's coming from on his side, saying that, you know, look at all I've done. Look at everything I'm doing as running back. I'm literally a do-all running back. But the double-edged sword side of that, like you mentioned, is you're also showing how much wear and tear you're taking every single season. So I understand why they're in kind of a standstill, and why you would say he probably will be the highest paid running back here coming up soon, but why some teams are cautious. So I totally understand. Obviously keeping an eye out for that situation. Never know when it's going to come up. I thought I was trying to be funny with the whole Big Ben. Maybe he'll play 3 years before Le'Veon Bell signs, but you think it might actually happen. So a good job to continue that one going.
The thing with Bell is what's really interesting to me is where does he go? Where does he fit? And right. Who's willing to spend that type of money that he's looking for? You know, we're looking to push into the $15 to $17 million range, and that's just a level underneath what some starting caliber quarterbacks make. So, considering what we've seen in the NFL in recent years, whether it be Ezekiel Elliott, Todd Gurley, Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt, Alvin Kamara, you're getting premium production for guys on rookie contracts. That, yes, Bell will only be 26 years old this year, but it comes down to, does that level of production meet the value, the monetary value you're willing to spend in free agency? And that, to me, is going to be absolutely fascinating to watch once the new league year begins, because I don't know how many teams are actually going to be willing to negotiate at that high of a level, which may be beneficial to Pittsburgh if they're willing to slow play this and see how the market develops.
Absolutely. Brent Sobolewski, Bleacher Report, NFL here with us. Now, another guy that's kind of getting more time, or says he might have more time, or according to his coach, now he might have more time. Eli Manning apparently supposed to be getting a clean slate with Pat Shurmur. How long does that one last? Does that one turn into sour grapes pretty quickly? And if so, are they still eyeing a quarterback for that number two slot overall?
I actually had a really interesting conversation about this recently with someone who actually was my editor, because he's a big Giants fan. And I asked him flat out, what would you rather do? Would you rather have Eli Manning as your quarterback for two more years, or would you rather, as I put it, rip off the Band-Aid, select a rookie, and maybe go out and get Case Keenum, for example, since Pat Shurmur is the head coach? And he was adamant that he wanted to see Manning for a few more years. But what my question is this, and the reason why I brought that up in the first place, was because Pat Shurmur runs a timing-based passing game that has the roots that stretch back to Mike Holmgren at the Green Bay Packers. Manning has never been in that type of offensive scheme. So how is he going to perform when he has to basically change his style of play this late in his career? Is he going to be that efficient passer needed to consistently make the plays within that those West Coast roots? And that's where I question it. And I'm not questioning Manning's talent, because he's obviously been in the league a long time and done a lot of great things and won a couple Super Bowls. But sometimes, you know, system fit doesn't necessarily mesh, even with guys that are established veterans for a long time. And for me, my argument was, you bring in a new head coach, you have already decided, you already wasted Eli Manning's starting streak record. So why, at this point, just move forward and go with Keenum, for example, simply because he has a history with Shermer, and then select the quarterback number two overall. Because in the Giants' standard, they believe they should be competing for a Super Bowl every year, and it's a long, illustrious history with that program. So you're not expecting to be in the top five anytime soon now in the future, in the near future. Get the quarterback, develop him, have a bridge in front of him, and don't sit there and say that a 37-year-old quarterback is going to be your guy moving forward for 2 to 3 more years.
That's a good point. You know, if they want to be contenders every year, they could, like you said, go after a Keenum or draft a guy or both. And keep Eli on the bench until the playoffs and then put him in. I mean, that seems to be when he plays the best anyway.
You got that relief arm. You're bringing Andrew Miller in to get the quick outs. And you know what? Look, the NFL, when you consider the fact that if Eli Manning has, I believe, close to a $19 million cap hit this year, and you could go out and potentially sign someone younger that knows the system, that has a more long-term upside, and draft someone, to me, that seems like the logical path to follow, simply because the NFL, I understand it's a quarterback league, but Eli hasn't been that driving force within that offense for multiple years now, and you need someone to replace him. So I think there's a lot of heartstrings that pull because of he's my quarterback. You know, he's got that Terrell Owens, you know, I can't cry on cue, but he's my quarterback type of situation, whereas you have to look at the business aspects and where you want to move forward. This is what Bill Belichick does so well that many of the other organizations don't. The Giants may hang on too long to someone that was great for them, but in the league today, it's not about what you once did. It's what you can do for me moving forward.
Yeah, another great point. Now, if the Giants do decide to go, I don't know how much Senior Bowl you've been able to keep up with. I don't think you were actually there, but I'm sure you've got a bunch of connections feeding you some stuff, and you've probably been all in on it because you're such a draft heavy guy. Now, if the Giants did elect to go with a quarterback, I mean, is their quarterback at the Senior Bowl right now? Who's the guy they're looking at?
Oh, I've been all up in it.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Look, when you look at the Senior Bowl right now, obviously there's two huge names being Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen. Both are legitimate first-round talents. They are the headliners. It's one of the first time, actually, since I can't remember, the first year I was ever covering the Senior Bowl in Mobile was 2004 or 2005 was the Marcus Ware's year. And I don't remember that much talent at the quarterback position during one of these games, at least based on perceptions heading into the festivities. And when I look at it, I know I've said this before, and Tom doesn't necessarily agree with me, I believe Baker Mayfield is the best quarterback in college football. And what we saw this week in Mobile is that he consistently made accurate passes and showed wonderful touch. And his arm strength, while not on par with Josh Allen, which he has an absolute flamethrower attached to his shoulder, is still above average, and you can see the zip on his throw. So when I look at those two, Allen comes away as that guy that has scouts' mouths watering, simply because if you were to draw up a quarterback, that's what it looked like. 6 foot four, 237 pounds, cannon for an arm. He can run. He can move. He can make throws in the tight windows that most quarterbacks can't. But consistency is such a huge part of the position. And when you see the little things that Baker Mayfield did, not just in Oklahoma, you could see him in Mobile. You could see him consistently throw guys his ball placement to where they could run after the catch, how he really interacted with his teammates. You know, these are all the little things that go overlooked when it comes to playing quarterback, but are so absolutely vital. So to answer your question, is there a guy potentially there? I doubt either one of those go 1 and 2 overall simply because of the limitations we see in them. Look, Baker Mayfield's great, but they're going to hold against him that he's just over 6 foot tall. I don't make the rules. That's the way the game is played. And with Josh Allen, with his inconsistency, that's going to be an issue moving forward because he needs time to develop. I still believe coming out of this, the two youngest guys, be it Josh Rosen or Sam Darnold, are more likely to be the top two picks.
Yeah, now we had, I don't mean to give away how the sausage is made here, but the guy you hooked me up with, Tony Pauline from DraftAnalyst.com, he came on last segment and he said about Baker Mayfield that his inability to go down, he said his arm strength wasn't quite there. You know, he was underthrowing some guys. Guys had to wait for the ball to get there, and he had the inability to drive the ball downfield. So it's kind of the same gripe you're giving, but you're giving him a lot more credit. He was a little more negative on Baker Mayfield, to my taste, but obviously I am a diehard Oklahoma fan. He is my favorite Sooner to ever play. So I really can't talk. I really try to stay out of that conversation because I know the bias obviously plays a big part in that with me.
Well, look, and to a degree, there's an inherent bias within all of us, right?
Right.
Because, and I know for a fact, I know, knowing Tony personally, I know that he's a Josh Allen fan based on all the things we discussed. And I'm not saying Baker Mayfield has the biggest arm in the world. That's not my contention. It's that he can drive the ball, particularly on those timing routes that we were discussing earlier with it being a Shermer offense. He's not going to be the guy that's going to be dropping it in the bucket consistently 35, 40 yards down the field. That's not his game. But if you look at it, comparing him next to Allen and the other quarterbacks in attendance, you could see that his arm was better than a lot of people thought initially. And a lot of that's credit to Baker for, you know, adding bulk over the years, 215 pounds. When you look at him, he's short. He's not small, you know, kind of like Russell Wilson, that type of body build. You know, and his footwork, he's constantly has a good base, stepping into his throw, letting quick snapping off of his delivery. So these are all things that all work in his benefit. But we do all have confirmation bias. There's absolutely no way to get around that. And I think sometimes that's in play, especially when you talk about the Senior Bowl, because having been down there numerous times, you can watch a lot and you can learn a lot, but you can't see everything.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you mentioned inherent biases. And we all have them, and I think everybody has a certain negative bias, or most everybody, towards the New England Patriots. We're playing next week in the Super Bowl, and a lot of these guys, are whether you're for them or against them, everybody's kind of hanging on the news about Rob Gronkowski right now. I mean, and I we'll get into why I really don't think it matters in a second, but is this guy going to play? If the Super Bowl was this weekend, he wouldn't play. I mean, he's not practicing, but do you think this concussion matter will be figured out, sort itself out before the game next week?
I think they're going to slow play, and they should. They have time, rightly so. And it's considering the temperature around the league as we currently know it, this isn't something that you want to mess around with. And we know the Patriots' histories when it comes with injuries and how they like to dabble a little bit and keep people guessing when it comes down to it. But with head safety in the NFL really stressing it, and what we just saw with Cam Newton and the uproar over whether he actually had a concussion, whether he should have been evaluated for a concussion, all these things need to be taken into account in how they need to really approach the situation overall. I agree. When it comes down to it, Rob Gronkowski not playing in the Super Bowl is about as likely as Tom Brady not playing in the AFC Championship game even after he cuts his hand. You know, that's the way I'm approaching it, unless it's something drastic. What I'm taking away from that situation, though, is looking at it from the opposite side. When you're a defense, how are you supposed to cover Rob Gronkowski down the seam? You can't hit him high because it draws a 15-yard penalty. You can't hit him low, because if you remember a few years ago, T.J. Ward did that, shredded Gronk's knee, and he became the villain. So it's absolutely fascinating to me where that target area is on that big of a man who's so athletic, who's so dominant, And if he's on the field, he's such a significant presence within the Patriots offense that you have to, even if he may not be 100% healthy, you have to account for him at all times. And we both expect him to be on the field and be that present.
Oh, well, absolutely. Brent Sobolewski here, Bleacher Report, NFL. Everybody expects him to be out there. And obviously, when he's on the field, he's one of the biggest mismatches you'll ever see. As you mentioned, down the seam, it's almost impossible to even attempt to hit him because you're either going to get hurt, he's going to get hurt, and you're going to become the villain, or there's going to be a flag. But, I mean, how likely is it with this cast of guys that the Patriots could win the Super Bowl without him? Because we've seen this story before, the forearm being broken and everything. Gronk's missed some Super Bowls, and Brady wins anyway.
Well, you mentioned earlier that you want to give away sometimes how these things work behind the scenes with us and the media. Well, I'll give you a little preview for what we're doing with Bleacher Report with our predictions. I was one of two writers among our stable to actually predict the Eagles to win the contest. And the reason I state that is I believe they match up particularly well, even with Gronkowski in the lineup. Two things that they do that Jacksonville did that put them in a position to win and probably should have won. When you look at Philadelphia, where New England has struggled time and time again, going back to the two Super Bowl losses of the New York Giants and the loss in the AFC Championship game to the Denver Broncos a couple years ago, Tom Brady gets flustered when there's consistent pressure in his face. If you watch the Jacksonville game, it was one of the few times during his career we actually saw him seeing ghosts. And he was putting his eyes down. He was almost anticipating getting hit or sacked at points. And the Eagles have that type of talent like Jacksonville does along their front line. They come at you in waves. It's not just one guy. It's not just two guys. You know, four, five, six guys that can rush the passer. I mean, just think about this a second. I know you're in SEC country. Derek Barnett isn't even a starter. And he was a first-round pick.
That's true.
And left Tennessee as their all-time leading sack artist over Reggie White. So it gives you an idea how talented they are along the defensive front. And the other aspect is this. With the Philadelphia Eagles, they have the best designed run game in the NFL. They may not be the most prolific running team in the NFL, but the design and the consistency and the depth of the running back position that they have can punch New England in the mouth. Again, much like Jacksonville did. The difference I have is this. I believe the coaching staff within Philadelphia is superior to Jacksonville. When I look at Peterson, Frank Reich, and John DeFilippo, they put their offense in position to succeed better than anyone I've watched all season. I'm going to give them a ton of credit for really getting the most out of Nick Foles.
Yeah, and so are you a going official on that pick? You're picking Philly?
Yes, I'm stating it now. I'm a week early. I am all in, man. And you know what? I'm just giving them the credit I believe they deserve. And I didn't give it to them most this year, simply because without Carson Wentz, you didn't know exactly which route they were going to go. But when you look at that coaching staff and what they did, they changed the offense. They implemented more RPOs, more half-field reads, getting the ball out of Nick Foles' hands much more quickly. Then he goes and throws for, 363 yards in NFC Championship game. We know he's talented. We saw a few years ago 27 touchdowns and only two interceptions and a Pro Bowl bid. You just need to unleash it. And I think they, as well as anyone not named Belichick, puts their players in a position to succeed.
Well, I think the coolest part of the Super Bowl, if Philly was able to win it, obviously the Nick Foles situation is going to get a lot of attention. But to me, Chris Long playing for free and still having the desire and everything to go out there and win a Super Bowl is just incredible to me. The fact that he's forfeited the rest of his pay for education equality the rest of the season is just remarkable. And he's playing at an elite level. And obviously, I know you don't want to think that a lot of these guys are motivated to pay for play because you hope that they have love for the football. But it's just awesome to see that story happen.
You know, just overall, and I'm not trying to get on my high horse here because it's been a very politically driven season. We can't deny it. I don't care which way you vote or who you support. But the fact of the matter is, so many of these men do so much for their communities that it's consistently overlooked. And until we get to the point where a majority of people don't agree with an action, only then is the spotlight shown on those and what they do year in and year out, contributing to each of their cities, to young children, to education, to so many different factors to improve lifestyles for the less fortunate. And to me, seeing what Chris Long's done, and one of the first things I thought of, and I'm not trying to make light of the situation, was once he made the playoffs and made it this far, I thought to myself, well, he donated all of his game checks. Does that include playoffs? Does he get a Super Bowl check? What is that going to involve? And you know what? I know he's done such a phenomenal job. He deserves an absolute ton of credit. And he's one of the few that really tries to understand both sides of the argument. And that is too few and too many when it comes to this conversation.
Well, I mean, that's a great point. And Brent, that's why we have you on here, because you cover so much. You make my job easier because, man, you give some of the most in-depth answers, and we absolutely appreciate it. I had a long list of things I'd love to talk about, but unfortunately we run out of time. I wanted to get some of your thoughts on some prop bets and everything else, but you give us just such quality stuff, man, and we can't thank you enough, and that's why we can't wait to have you on again next week.
You can butter me up all you like, but there's a reason my parents gave me the initials BS, and it's obvious.
Brent Sobleski, we appreciate it, man. Talk to you next week.
Thank you, man. Have a good one.
All right. That was a good one. That was fantastic. We got another good one lined up for you next. Josh Ward, SEC Insider, coming up. Talk about, I mean, my goodness, the loaded South team we got over there at the Senior Bowl, full of all your LSU, Auburn, and Alabama guys. If you missed it, we had Tony Pauline on talking the Senior Bowl earlier. We will have some of that in the Rapid Rewind, but we'll touch base again with Josh Ward, see what's going on there. Also, a lot of SEC basketball stories that are just enormous. You can't avoid them. Tennessee basketball playing very well. Rick Barnes has those guys playing great. Auburn off of an 18-point massacre of Missouri late in that basketball game, and we'll discuss what they've got coming up this weekend. And obviously the big game of the week. I know we got Duke playing their big one, but I think more of the intrigue is on Alabama hosting Oklahoma. We'll get into that. I mean, you've got two of the best guards in the country going at it, and you know it's going to be something special. We'll get Josh Ward's thoughts on that next, right here on the Tom Abraham Show. And by the way, the big dog, you know, he's shot. He said he might be shot, and he's shot. He gave it all he had. You know, I mean, I wish I had the drop, but you know, Tom's tough. You know, we all knew that. And it was a good job by him. And unfortunately, he's not going to be able to go the rest of the way. He's got to use the rest of his energy to take care of some stuff around the house. So Tony Mack's going to take you. I just used my name in third person. I apologize. I apologize. But I will be taking you the rest of the way to Six Bells, and we'll have a good time. We'll set you up for next week. And none of that happens without a break right here on the Tom Abraham Show. So we'll be back, 7:30, 103.9 The Ump. Stay tuned.
Sports Radio 7:30 and 103.9 The Ump. WUMP.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by Everwood Treatment Company, the official treated lumber of Alabama athletics. Everwood, wood treated right. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris Stewart. Alabama head football coach Nick Saban announced the hiring of two new assistant coaches on Wednesday. Josh Gattis and Carl Scott will join the staff. Gattis brings 8 years of experience to Alabama, spending six of those seasons working under James Franklin. He'll be the new wide receivers coach. The last four seasons, Gattis has served as the wide receivers and passing game coordinator while leading the offensive recruiting efforts for Penn State. Scott will be working with the Crimson Tide secondary. He spent the last two seasons as the secondary coach at Texas Tech before being named the defensive coordinator at Louisiana Lafayette in late December. I'll have more in a moment.
Everwood Treatment, an Alabama-based family-owned company, has been supplying quality pressure-treated lumber for over 30 years. As the official pressure-treated lumber of Alabama Athletics, we know the real work is done before game day. Everwood Treatment's process produces wood treated right. Our service-oriented team is dedicated to your shopping experience. If you need it, we'll get it. For a dealer near you, visit EverwoodTreatment.com. Everwood Treatment, the official treated lumber of the Alabama Crimson Tide, your treated wood source.
The Alabama women's basketball team dropped a 79-54 decision at Kentucky on Thursday night. The Tide remains on the road for its second game of the week, taking on Auburn down on the plains Sunday. That one's scheduled for a 4 o'clock tip. It will air on the SEC Network. The Alabama men's basketball team will play host number 12 Oklahoma Saturday. That's part of the SEC Big 12 Challenge. Tip-off time for that one is set for 1:15 at Coleman Coliseum. We'll have radio coverage on the network beginning at noon. That's your Bama update. Crimson Tide Today, brought to you by Everwood Treatment Company, is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network.
Madison RV, family owned. family fun starts here.
You're a savvy buyer waiting for the right time to buy an RV. Well, your wait is over. Find unbelievable prices during Madison RV's end of year clearance sale. Every Madison RV on the lot is marked down. All motorhomes, fifth wheels, and travel trailers. You'll never find a better time for inventory, price, and financing. There's still plenty of time for tailgating and camping. Don't miss Madison RV's end of year clearance sale going on now.
If you ever want to buy a house or a car, you're going to want to know your credit score. If there's a mistake on your credit report, you could pay more in interest rates and fees than you have to. Where can you go online to quickly get your credit score and credit report for free? CreditKarma.com/radio. Check it whenever you like. It's free and there's no catch. Don't get an unwanted surprise about your credit score. Go to creditkarma.com/radio. That's creditkarma.com/radio.
The Collector and Shooters Club Gun Show returns to the VBC January 27th and 28th. Adult admission $8. Children 12 and under are free. Doors open Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4 with over 450 tables. You'll find modern and antique firearms, knives, shooting and hunting accessories, and much more. Don't miss the Collector and Shooters Club Gun Show at the VBC this weekend, Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. We'll see you there.
The Ump will make sure you know what's going on in college football.
That sounds like a lot of work. Driving around the country trying to keep up with Ole Miss and whoever else has been under investigation right now.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump.
Sharing has never meant as much as it does now. Everything is up for the world to see. But what if the sharing could be used to make a difference? The National MS Society is building a place where everyone can share their experiences for good. If you have a story, share it. If you have a solution, share that too. Because together, we are stronger. Join us at wearestrongerthanms.org.
Weather is sponsored by Dell. Dell Small Business Advisors can help you get the right solution. Get up to 35% off select businesses PCs with Intel Core processors through December. Visit Dell.com/small business or call 877-BUY-DELL.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy tonight. We'll forecast a low at 47. Tomorrow, cloudy. The chance of rain by afternoon, the high 59. Rain is more likely tomorrow night. Then for Sunday, a cloudy day with a few periods of rain likely, the high in the middle 50s at 55 degrees. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The Ump.
Read the sign. Beware of dog. Tom Abraham is back.
Welcome back. Tom Abraham Show here. Efforting Josh Ward. We're having a little mix-up on getting the correct number, but as soon as I get it, I promise you guys we'll have Josh in here because, man, we got a lot to talk about. I know all you football nuts out there trying to get in on the Senior Bowl action. It's on the NFL Network tomorrow. Check that out. I'm going to be in on that. There's a lot to dive into. But I'm more interested in the SEC basketball. I'm not going to lie to you. I really am. I mean, I know I kind of get pegged as a basketball guy. But look at what's going on. Can you blame me? You got Alabama hosting Oklahoma. I mean, the guard play in that game is going to be disgusting. If Colin Sexton's ready to go, I mean, you would hope. Let's see if we can get Josh really quick here.
Hello.
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm sorry about that.
Hey, it's no problem. We are live. You're going to have to deal with Tony Mack here, me. I keep saying myself in third person. I've never done that before, and I don't know why I keep doing that. But the big dog, he's finally shot. He's been sick. He's been trying to battle through it. And about an hour ago, he handed me over the reins. So,
I gotcha.
What do you say we dive into this thing?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I want to get into some SEC basketball. I was just telling the listeners that that's honestly what I'm most looking forward to this weekend. But we got to talk about the Senior Bowl first. Now, I don't know that you got a chance to go down there, did you?
No,
yeah,
I did not.
I didn't figure, but I'm sure that all the talk – I know all the talk is centered around the quarterbacks and everything, but have you heard anything about that stacked South squad that's got all the Alabama and LSU guys? I mean, you've got DJ Chark, Deshaun Hand, I mean, J.K. Scott, even the special team guys are out there. You know, I mean, J.K. Scott – is out there doing his thing. Daniel Carlson, I didn't realize how big these guys were. I mean, what have you heard? What kind of noise are those guys making down there in Mobile?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been an impressive showing with all of that. You're right, the quarterback position gets almost all of the attention nationally, but I think you're going to see a lot of the guys you just mentioned fill up the first round, and if not the first round, the first two, three rounds, which has really been a trend. And I think in the last few years, you've seen a lot of those guys with maybe unfair expectations going in. And over the last couple of years, maybe those have dropped a little bit, and it's allowed some of those players coming from SEC West schools especially to have a better chance of living up to what's expected of them coming out. So all three levels on defense, the SEC, again, especially that Western Division, it has the ability to produce guys that can be instant impact players, and I think that's what the NFL looks for from players, especially in the SEC. But when you talk about the Western Division and the big schools in the West, starting with Alabama, LSU has talent every single year, there is more attraction to their names, I think, all around the country from fans, and that's going to be the case with NFL teams as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Josh Ward here with us, SEC Insider. Now, I mean, I'm going down the list, man. You're right. It's just loaded with SEC West in particular. But did you know, I feel awful for not knowing this. I feel like I've done a bad job all season. But then the big dog, Tom, didn't know it either. Do you have any idea that Daniel Carlson was 6'5"?
I don't know that I did.
That
yeah.
blows my mind. That
yeah.
guy's huge. Wait.
Yeah, it gives him a chance to impress. I mean, first impressions, I'm not even kidding, matter, I think, sometimes in NFL meetings. And that's the case right here.
I'm trying to find him again on the list. I was scrolling down. I want to see his weight. But, I mean, if he was a quarterback, he'd be a first-round pick based on his height, right?
Yeah. The measurables, that's the big conversation this week at the Senior Bowl. And you would say that about Baker Mayfield. I mean, he's a first-round pick, I think, anyway. But if he's a 6'3 or taller quarterback, then he's probably the number one pick in the draft. He's a guaranteed top-five guy.
Yeah, you're exactly 213 pounds of Daniel Carlson. You're exactly right. Now, but even so, even though he's not the 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", that a lot of guys look at, I mean, how big was it that he just cleared the 6-foot mark?
Yeah, that probably helps. And if he doesn't, I don't think it's the end of the world, because I don't know how, I guess, literally high the expectations were there. But there is something about the number that's next to your name. And at the end of the day, it's can you play? What can you see? When you're out there on the field pre-snap, after the ball is snapped. But from a size standpoint, I think Baker Mayfield measured as well as he could probably hope to. I mean, coming in just over 215 pounds at his height, he's never going to have that as an advantage. It's just not going to happen for him. He knows that. We know that. And he's actually had to overcome that already in his career. It's a different level at the NFL. I think a lot of the questions about Baker will be, how will he handle the spotlight of being an NFL quarterback? How will he handle himself off the field? And if it just takes one every time, but if teams are convinced that he's fine outside of football, then I don't think he'll have a difficult time finding at least one team to believe in him on the field.
Yeah, you're exactly right about that. Now, if I told you to go back over the SEC season and ask you to name a bunch of guys that stood out to you, there are a couple of guys on the Senior Bowl list that I think have been forgotten about. They're not the Deshaun Hands and all those guys that have been popping out. I mean, I know DJ Chark has been mentioned a lot, but I don't think he quite had the season that everybody expected him to have, or LSU as a whole. But you got guys like DJ Chark and Jamon Moore from Missouri. Now, tell us something that you saw all season that the Senior Bowl guys are getting to see from these guys this week.
Yeah, well, I think, again, the athleticism is going to stand out. Jamon Moore, I mean, he's a guy that his quarterback gets a lot of attention, but he was a big-time player.
Absolutely.
I think you can look in the defensive backfield, and you think about Armani Watts, who played a lot of football at Texas A&M, is a guy that's going to get attention. Duke Dawson, who played at Florida, he was kind of the next guy in line behind players before him in that defensive backfield that stood out, and you got a lot of attention. Jalen Tabor, Tease Tabor, the highest among that group, but those are guys that can play, and then you're always going to look to the SEC for pass rush help as well, and guys up front that can make a difference. So a lot of the attention, I would say, will be around the defensive backfield, but you know, playing running back in the SEC is something that I think a lot of teams probably look at. Is if you can hold up through the grind of an SEC schedule and be successful and come out healthy, then NFL teams will give you a shot. Maybe not. It depends. You know, Darius Geis is a high profile player from LSU, but others that come from that position in the SEC, I think, will get a look as well.
Josh Ward, SEC Insider, is here with us. Let's move on to the hoops action now, because we've got some great things going on in basketball in the SEC. And to be honest with you, we're not going to mention Kentucky. I mean, how crazy is that to say that there's a lot of great things going on in SEC basketball and Kentucky's not one of them?
Yeah, and I do wonder what the tournament potential will be for Kentucky's basketball team, because in the backcourt, I don't know that they have the playmakers right now that they need. Maybe that develops here over the next few weeks, but when I think about where the SEC is right now, first of all, I think about the depth of the league, how easy it is to lose any night, and that's not because teams are bad, it's because teams are good. And, you know, Texas A&M swept in the regular season series by LSU. The fact that South Carolina can play the way that it has in the last four games, it's, you know, it's 3-1, it has wins at Georgia, you beat Kentucky at home, you go on the road to beat Florida. That win the other night was really big for the Gamecocks, and now you have a nice opportunity hosting Texas Tech this weekend, where South Carolina can really have a chance to make a move with the second half of SEC play coming up. So when I think about the top of the league, I expected the opposite, frankly, of what our conversation is about Auburn right now on the court. I'm blown away by how good the Tigers have been, considering what's gone on off the court, the players that were taken off the court, with everything that Auburn's dealing with, and ultimately maybe Bruce Pearl is held responsible by his university for it. But in the meantime, he's had them ready to play on the floor. Tennessee's been a lot better than I expected. I still think Florida's a quality team, and Kentucky's a quality team. It's just that the rest of the league is better. Kentucky's not quite as good as it's been, and that's why it comes back to the pack.
Yeah, you're exactly right, especially on the whole Auburn thing. I think that's one, for me, one of the more interesting stories we've seen, one of the more interesting dynamics that we've seen in a long time in basketball. You've got a team without their two best players who are leading their conference, which is a very good basketball conference this year, and a coach who's doing an incredible job, and they're taking the precautionary measures of leaving those guys off the court so it potentially won't come back to bite them. But then you've got the head coach who's doing a great job on the court that won't talk to the university, and there's potential repercussions for that eventually. So any way you slice this thing, there's a lot of intrigue here for Auburn. But one of the crazy things, they had a great road win against Missouri on Tuesday or Wednesday. I believe it was Wednesday. It was a great road win. They pulled away and won by 18. But if I told you that Auburn won by, or if you came to me and said, hey, Auburn won last night, and I said, oh, that's awesome, how many, you know, rebounds did their undersized power forward DeSean Murray have? And you were to tell me he didn't have one rebound, I wouldn't have believed you. That's just incredible that even without their best two players and an undersized power forward who's averaging almost 7 rebounds a game now, didn't have a rebound, and they were still able to pull away and get production from other guys. I mean, four starters had at least 14 points or more. This team is on an incredible roll right now.
Yeah, it really is. And in that game, I thought Auburn defensively did a terrific job of pressuring. They forced a lot of turnovers. Some were probably mistakes made by Missouri. I mean, that's going to be a part of it. But Auburn defensively, I thought, was terrific. Hit shots from the outside, which was a big part of their win. Every time in the middle of that second half, Missouri cut it to one possession. It looked like, okay, at home, could this be the rally for Missouri that would be too much for Auburn to overcome? And it was the opposite. Auburn immediately went on a big run itself and won convincingly by almost 20 points in that one. So they've done that a number of times this past weekend. Auburn's down double digits and ends up winning by double digits. And that's been the story of a lot of SEC play for Auburn. The only loss in conference is on the road against its rival in Alabama. So with what Bruce Pearl's team has done, I didn't see it coming. And it's also incredible to think about the league as as good as it's been in a long time, and it's Auburn, which has been at the bottom of the league for such a long period of time, is on top right now. And maybe that changes. We'll see if it holds up through the second half of the season. But right now, I've got confidence in what Auburn is. And every coach is probably looking for more consistency in the league, is looking for guys to stay in it. But when Florida can lose at home to South Carolina the way that it did, and you know Auburn's gone on the road and won, I don't think Bruce Pearl could realistically ask for much more from his team. And I would tell you that I'm pretty confident Bruce is even surprised that his team is 18-2 right now overall.
Oh, I'm sure. Josh Ward, SEC insider. Now, if there was ever a second half team you were looking to put money on, I'd put money on Auburn, that they're guaranteed to have a good run in the second half. Now, a couple more SEC teams I want to talk about before I let you go. Tennessee, really quick. They're playing really well. They've had a skid once they hit league play. They lost back-to-back close game, a close one to Arkansas. Auburn beat them by 10, but then they lost to Missouri a week or so ago. But then they've pulled off wins against the South Carolina team that's playing very well. Vandy this year, not great, but it's another win for Tennessee. Now they have to go to Iowa State. And Iowa State's not the team they have been in the past, but going to that gym, to that arena where they're used to having great basketball on the court, that's going to be a tough place to play. Now, how likely do you think it is Tennessee could pull off a win here? Because even though it's a tough environment, I still give them a pretty good chance.
Yeah, I think Tennessee has a really good chance there. This is one of those games where even as Tennessee appears to be the better team going in, it probably will be tested with one of its weaknesses versus an opponent's strength, or at least the opponent's best chance, and that's if Iowa State hits shots from the outside, and it has some guys that can do that, Tennessee better be ready with its perimeter defense. And against Missouri, Tennessee had a chance to win the game because Missouri just missed a bunch of shots from the outside. But I'm not sure Tennessee's perimeter defense was the best. Same with Vanderbilt. Tennessee was able to pull out the win, but Vanderbilt came back the other night because Riley Lachance hits a bunch of threes. He had four threes in 2.5 minutes, and all of a sudden you have a game. But before that, Vanderbilt had missed a bunch of threes, and several of those were just open looks, and they didn't go down. So Tennessee needs to defend the perimeter well, and that's a question I think going into a lot of games is how will Tennessee defend on the ball? And they don't have a size advantage, so rebounding is a challenge for Tennessee. But if the Vols have the right kind of effort, mindset comes back to being consistent, which all coaches ask for and demand of their players, and Rick Barnes has done that, then Tennessee will get out of there with a win. Of course, does Tennessee hit shots? If you miss, it's still a make-or-miss sport. If you miss, then you at least can allow the opponent to close the gap.
Yeah, it's a great point. Now, lastly, you have to save the best one for last, and I think all eyes are going to be in Tuscaloosa at 1:15 tomorrow when Oklahoma goes in to take on Alabama. Now, I still think Alabama has a very good chance to pull this one out. I think it's going to be a fantastic basketball game, but how healthy Colin Sexton is has a lot to do with the intrigue in this game. I mean, it's the two best guards in the country going at it. So do you expect how hopeful are you that he'll be close to 100% ready to go?
I think everybody in college basketball is hopeful because you've got the freshman spotlight matchup there.
Right.
And, you know, I can just add to the intrigue of the game, the level of play, I would say as well. And Oklahoma's coming in with a lot of attention, and we've seen just in the last week what Trae Young can do to lead his team to a win against a big-time opponent in Kansas. But also, the way that last week's game against Oklahoma State went is how Oklahoma shouldn't play with Trae Young, putting up almost 40 shots and so many shots from the outside. And I thought the final play of the game really kind of represented what we all knew was going on, and that was Trae Young's basketball. And you've got a timeout with 8-9 seconds to go in the clock with a chance to tie or win the game. And everybody knows the ball's going to Trae Young, including Oklahoma State, so that's all they had to defend. But back to your question, at Colin Sexton, you would think just his presence gives Alabama a much better chance of being successful. And for the sport of college basketball, you want to see the most talent you can out on the floor. And that's one thing that the league's been robbed of a little bit is haven't had 100% Colin Sexton all the way. Other teams have dealt with injury. Michael Porter Jr., of course, not playing this season. The level of play in the SEC could actually be even better than it has been, which is pretty hard to believe. But I think that's the case. But if if we get to see a healthy Colin Sexton out there against Trey Young, then I think it'll be worth the price of admission, because either way, I think it's probably a good game that comes down to the end.
Absolutely. We're all looking forward to it. And Josh, we're looking forward to having you back next week. Thank you for joining us, and we'll talk to you again, man.
You got it. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Josh Ward, SEC Insider. We were way over time with him, but that was a great conversation. We got to get a See, I'm already trying to get ahead of myself and get to the end of the hour so we can reset this bad boy. But we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll set you up for the fabulous final hour here on the Tom Abraham Show, led all the way by me. Tony Mack, get used to it a little bit. There's a little preview, because next week I'll be covering the show for a few days as well. We'll let you know all those details on the other side. So stay tuned. 730, 103.9 at the UMP. This is the Tom Abraham Show.
Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP. WUMP. Here's what you'll hear tonight on the UMP.
There are no games on the air tonight, but you can tune in this weekend for Alabama basketball on Saturday, and you can hear the NFL Pro Bowl on Sunday. That's all weekend, all right here on the UMP.
Shop the kitchen and bath event for Home Depot exclusives like the Kohler Rubicon single-handle bath faucet. Now at a new, lower price, just $79. Its brushed nickel finish and Art Deco style complement any decor. Contemporary, classic, yours. No one offers more Kohler for your kitchen and bath than the Home Depot. And right now, the Kohler Rubicon faucet is just $79. More saving, more doing. Valid through March 7th while supplies last.
If your wiper blades are worn and streaking, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and save $8 instantly on a pair of Trico Force wiper blades. Improve visibility and save money with Trico Force wiper blades. Plus, take advantage of O'Reilly Auto Parts' free wiper blade installation. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Attention men under the age of 35. You know what really impresses the ladies? When a guy has a few drinks and later gets pulled over for buzz driving. That could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. There goes let's grab dinner and a movie. Oh, I know. You drive more carefully when you're buzzed. You've proven that hundreds of times. A woman admires that kind of confidence. And you've practiced how to speak if a cop does pull you over. Slowly, clearly, and politely, like, "Good evening, officer." A woman admires that kind of foresight. And what woman doesn't find it adorable that you call it buzzed, even though the law calls it drunk? You could kiss $10,000 goodbye, along with any chance of having a girlfriend. Because nothing says, "I'm a catch," more than a guy who lives in his parents' basement and calls it my place.
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The UMP, where champions are crowned.
The 1-1.
Chopper, back to the circle. Lowry's got it. Throws to first, and OU did it again. The Sooners defeat the Gators 5-4. And Oklahoma, just the ninth team in history to repeat as national champions. The Oklahoma Sooners, the champions of softball in 2017.
On Sports Radio 730 and 103.9, The UMP.
The Amazon's rainforest is being cut down so fast that by 2030, 55% of it could be completely wiped out. The Earth's forests can't speak up when they need help, but we can. Be the voice for those who have no voice. Visit worldwildlife.org.
The sky becoming mostly cloudy tonight. We'll forecast a low at 47. Tomorrow, cloudy. The chance of rain by afternoon, the high 59. Rain is more likely tomorrow night. Then for Sunday, a cloudy day with a few periods of rain likely. The high in the middle 50s at 55 degrees. I'm James Spann on Sports Radio 730 and 103.9 The UMP.
Now back to the big dog. This show is rough.
I wouldn't go as far as rough, would you? In a couple patches, but we're getting over it pretty well. The big dog came in and gave us some good quality minutes. You know what I mean? He started and gave us some good quality starter minutes, and he couldn't go all the way, and we got to go to the bench. We got to hit the bullpen. I'm closing this bad boy out. It was a smooth transition. Wouldn't go with rough. Poor guy getting onto our side here. But all right. There you go. See, we made it through the first T-Mac hour. What painful. It wasn't awful. That was pretty good. We had some great guests. Brent Sobolewski and Josh Ward were in there with us. You'll get to hear, if you missed them, you'll get to hear again some of their best, along with the other great guests we've had so far today in the Rapid Rewind. But at the top of the hour, phone lines are open, 866-485-9867. Now, I do ask you guys to hold off giving me your Propfecta picks. If you want to do that, you need to hit the text window, which I'll give you the number at the top of the hour, or you want to get on the Facebook fan page and do that. I'm not authorized. I'm authorized to cover the show, but I'm not authorized to handle the picks. So we'll get into that. We'll get into much, much more at the top of the hour. So stay tuned right here on the Tom Abraham Show. T-Mac covering the rest of the way. 7:30 at 103.9 The Ump.
Sports Radio. The Ump. Because we care.
Six, five,
a new
four,
sport is taking off
three,
in downtown Huntsville. Are you
five,
ready?
One.
Rock X City Throwing Club is the largest and only accredited club with the World X Throwing League in Alabama.
Come challenge X experts for X Throwing champions from around the world.
Live in real time. Like Rock X City Throwing Club on Facebook for more information.
Or visit rockxcity.com.
Rock X City Throwing Club. Coming soon to downtown Huntsville.
The Collector and Shooters Club Gun Show returns to the VBC January 27th and 28th. Adult admission $8. Children 12 and under are free. Doors open Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. With over 450 tables, you'll find modern and antique firearms, knives, shooting and hunting accessories, and much more. Don't miss the Collector and Shooters Club Gun Show at the VBC this weekend, Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 10 to 4. We'll see you there.
Picture streams in our community. That's where our kids play and dogs splash. And some of these streams provide the water we drink. But is the water in these streams clean and safe? The truth is, for most local streams, no one knows. That's a problem. One the Isaac Walton League can help you solve with the Clean Water Challenge. For almost 50 years, the Isaac Walton League of America has helped people just like you test the water in local streams, clean up pollution, and protect healthy waters. Today, the Isaac Walton League has an ambitious new goal. Engage volunteers across the country to test 100,000 more streams for pollution. You can protect clean water in our community by joining the Clean Water Challenge. To get involved, visit iwla.org. That's iwla.org.
Premature birth is the number one killer of babies. Those who survive often face birth defects and complications that affect them for life. A healthy birth is the dream of every parent. But for hundreds of thousands of families with a baby born too soon, the reality is their baby's first home is the newborn intensive care unit. It's the hardest thing they will ever have to face. And it's even harder on the baby. This is a crisis that knows no boundaries. 15 million babies are born prematurely worldwide. Nearly 1 million will die before their first birthday. Do something today. Help the March of Dimes provide education and support to families and fund life-saving research to give every baby a fighting chance. Give them tomorrow at marchofdimes.org/tomorrow.
I'm Alejandro Escovedo. Most people don't know there's a link between certain viruses and cancer. I found out when I was diagnosed with hepatitis C. I learned that up to 65% of all liver cancers are caused by hepatitis B or C. That's why I've partnered with the Prevent Cancer Foundation. Liver cancer is preventable. Getting screened, vaccinated, and treated isn't scary, but cancer is. To learn more, visit thinkaboutthelink.org.
Adopt a manatee from Save the Manatee Club and help a gentle, defenseless species in need. Caring, compassionate, adoptive manatee parents across America and throughout the world are critical to helping these gentle giants and their habitat. A tax-deductible manatee adoption includes an adoption certificate with full-color photo, biography of a real living Florida manatee with a known history, and more. Adopt today. For more information, call 800-432-JOIN or visit SaveTheManatee.org.
Those serving in our military, they're the difference makers.
separated from family, enduring hardships far from home, sacrificing for their country while serving in a different country. Well, for those of us who support our armed forces through the USO, we get to make a difference too. Through the USO, we get to be the force that delivers the phone call between spouse and deployed service member. The force that brings newborn and new parent together through a delivery room video chat. And the force that makes sure our military, serving 7,000 miles away, gets to watch the big game from a USO center. We get to be the force behind the forces, connecting them to every company.
WUMP Madison, W28OBA Madison Huntsville, a Cumulus station. Sports Radio 730 and 103.9. The